Infendo Radio is on now.
And welcome to Infendo Radio, the best Nintendo podcast on the English-speaking internet. This is episode 331. I'm your host, Holly Felmuth, and joining me tonight, or rather this morning, we have Colin Crompton.
Hello, everybody.
And Justin Riley.
Hello.
So, once again, we have a different recording time. Not that it matters, because we go through an editing process, and who knows when you may listen to this, but it's kind of early morning for Justin and I once again, and Colin gets to...
Yeah, nice and nice walk-in, you know, it's in the afternoon. It's fantastic.
Yep, so that's probably a different experience for him. But we will just dive right into our show. This is our special Halloween episode. We are actually going to be splitting it up into two parts. Nintendo News, which we are mostly going to be talking about the Super Smash Bros. Wii U 50 Fact Extravaganza, followed by our feature, which is just talking about Halloween games that we've been playing, horror games that we've been playing or can recommend for Halloween, and just anything Halloween related. I'm afraid that we didn't get any listener questions that were Halloween-ish, and so we don't have it. We're not going to be answering any listener questions today, unfortunately. We have a lot, but we'll probably just have to save those for another show. So sorry about the wait there, but you probably won't have to wait too much longer to have your questions read and answered on the show. With that, I think we should just dive right in. So as far as Nintendo News goes, like I mentioned, we're going to be talking about the Super Smash Bros. For Wii U live stream that happened. There were, I think, 54 facts, as opposed to just 50, about the game. Nintendo, they're kind of weird. But so 54 facts. Since that is a pretty long list, we won't be talking about every single thing on there, but we are going to list them off. And the way we're going to be doing this is actually taking turns reading two items at a time, starting with me, going with Colin, then Justin, and just kind of going like that. We already have a select few that we are going to be discussing in more detail, so we'll get to those. So I guess I'll just dive right in here. Number one, more characters will be available from the start. Number two, the Wii U version will have a higher resolution than the 3DS version, of course.
Now you can have up to 8 players can play at the same time, but only on certain stages, which is interesting. And number four, larger stages to accommodate 5 to 8 fighters.
Or possibly 7 to 8. I don't think anyone's clear on that. But
exactly.
Justin, go ahead.
Number 5 is there's going to be danger zones in certain levels, such as patches of lava. And if you are at 100% or more damage and hit one of those, it's an instant knockout. Number 6 is an interesting one. There's going to be a Donkey Kong Country Return stage with a foreground and a background, two different planes of battle that you can launch back and forth to from cannon or barrel cannons.
I do wish we could stop and talk about more, but
we
have time constraints here, unfortunately. But number 7, there will be more stages than in the 3DS version. Fancy that. Number 8, there will be a Miiverse stage not available from the beginning that shows user posts in the background featuring the fighters in that particular match.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So on to number 9, using Pit's down taunt creates commentary from characters in Uprising. Now, that's a lot similar to Snake's codec function in Brawl. Number 10 is Metal Face will wreak havoc in Gower Plain stage, which is interesting.
Number 11 is Ridley, and also Meta Ridley, is going to appear as a stage hazard.
Harrison will be happy.
Not as a playable character.
Maybe.
He'll only be half happy. He's not playable.
Yeah.
Sorry, Harrison. Number 12 is Coin Battles will be returning.
Oh, yeah. That's one thing. I just want to make a quick comment here. This is one of many things where, Like, okay, this wasn't in the 3DS version of the game, but it was in Super Smash Bros. Brawl. So yeah. Number 13 is that stamina battles are also returning, and number 14 is that special Smash rules are also returning. So just a lot of things from Brawl that are returning. For those of you who don't know, special rules are things like, you know, everyone fights as a giant or as a tiny little thing, or you cannot have everybody have super spicy curry effects right from the start, so... Yeah, special Smash yeah. rules. Joy.
Yeah. Well, another thing coming back from Brawl is you can now change the item frequency again, mm-hmm. which is that's pretty cool. And also,
I like that, actually. Yeah. You can find a better compromise that way, because I'm not a big item fan. And so for those who like items, we can have the items on, but at low frequency. That's it's cool. a perfect yeah. little compromise.
And also, my music function lets you choose the frequency of each song in every stage, which is really cool.
Yeah. Also returning from Brawl. Did you guys know that was in Brawl?
Yeah, that was
as
in
well?
Brawl as well. Yeah.
Yep. That's why we're not stopping on every list item to talk about it. So.
Yeah, number 17 is the same thing. You can choose the frequency of songs in the main menu music. And then number 18... the Wii U version has about 3 times as much music as the 3DS version.
Yeah. Not really surprised about that.
So you know,
yeah.
Because it's on, you know, a disc rather than a cartridge, but hey, more music,
yep.
better.
Same here.
It's just one of the many list items that says, like, oh, well, the Wii U version's going to be so, so, so much more better than the 3DS version.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Obviously.
Yeah, bigger, stronger, better.
That's right.
All right, so number 19 is there will be more composers. More music means more composers. Number 20, CD collecting is back, which I'm actually quite thrilled about. I would have missed that if it wasn't there.
Okay, so 21 is more challenges than the 3DS version. I'm not really surprised by that. So, again, more space.
Yeah.
So pretty cool.
I don't even really know what that is. I mean, does that just mean new modes and stuff?
Yeah, I guess.
Some of the list items just flew by.
Okay, so 22, advance through classic mode based on how well you fight.
All right, so Colin wanted us to stop on this one and talk about it. I mean, some of the list items just kind of flew by and I didn't really get what they were talking about. So Colin, explain this to us, because this is one of those ones that I didn't quite get.
It just sounds like this. The classic mode is going to have this adaptive difficulty scale, which is, I mean, depending on how well you do, the enemies will get harder or easier. You know, I just thought it was something, a new twist on classic mode rather than the standard. You know, 8 fights and then you fight the boss at the end. It just means that every time you go through, classic mode, it will change. It will, you know, adapt to how well you're doing. So.
But the difficulty meter is still back, right?
Yes, you can still gamble your coins and basically bet on yourself and hope that you do well. But also little the rivals will pop up and it just seems like they're making classic mode more features.
Unpredictable?
Exactly. And so that's what
struck me when the rival thing was announced.
Yeah, so it looks really good for you. Big thumbs up for that.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. I do like it better than in the 3DS version. In the 3DS version of the game, in classic mode, you just have, branching paths. Usually you have 3 choices, and they're all different colored paths so you can determine which difficulty that you want. I'm assuming that the red paths are harder, right?
Well, that's what they don't seem to be that much different in terms of difficulty. It's usually just when you fight the giant characters. It all just instead of having 2 teammates, it's just you, or you have 3 teammates or whatever. You know, it doesn't change the game that much in terms of difficulty. Whereas this looks like it will. You know, more tougher enemies, I suppose, and hopefully better rewards as well. But I guess we'll see.
I kinda miss classic mode from Melee. In Melee, classic mode also had those kind of some of the points that you got to were target smashes and things like that. I miss that kind of variety.
Race to the finish and all that,
I loved that too. Oh.
Yeah. Maybe they'll bring it back. Maybe. But they haven't announced it yet. They are, so
Yeah. I think classic mode has, through the series, progressively gotten just slightly worse because I don't like to just go through, like, fight after fight after fight. I like it to be a little bit shaken up a little. Just a little.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With those, like, target
smashes. It needs a little variety.
Yeah.
Yeah. It needs a little variety. It's not just fight, 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 boss, done.
Yeah. I agree with that. But I'm okay with it. I mean, the rival, I don't know exactly how this rival system works, but no. I'm excited for that. I think it'll make it a little unpredictable and fun, so we'll see.
It piques my interest. So there you go.
Yeah, because even though, you know, Nintendo says this is what classic mode's going to be like, we still don't know a few things about it, and so that's a good reason to kind of, I don't know, choose this one to talk a little bit more about, because we don't know everything. So, but moving on, we're on number 23 with Justin.
Yeah, so short character movies will be returning to the end of classic mode, which is good. The 3DS version didn't have enough movies.
No.
Number 24, the All-Star mode is going to be in reverse chronological order this time, so traveling back in time instead of starting in the 80s and working forward.
Yep. I actually really like that about All-Star mode in the 3DS version. It just feels like you really are progressing in a cool order, I guess. I don't know.
Well, it's nice to see the history, you know, the 1981, you know. And so now we're going backwards, which is, I think it's just a way for him to say All-Star mode is different. You're going backwards instead of forwards, so.
Yeah, not a big change. But I do think I prefer going forward, but that's just me.
I think so.
So number 25 is event mode. We'll take you through various themed challenges.
Yay.
I didn't get that very well, but it looks like, I mean, event mode has usually just been like, do this, do this, do this, do this. And so this event mode will probably be a little bit more, it'll have more variety, I think.
I hope so.
That'll be fun. I'm glad event mode is returning at all, so I'll just say that. Right. Number 26, Smash Tour is a board game multiplayer mode, somewhat like Smash Run, just in the fact that the power-ups are returning and so on and so forth, but that's something that we're not going to stop on, so you'll have to kind of look that up on your own if you want to know more. Colin.
Yes, number 27. Second bomb in Target Blast is bigger and heavier than the 3DS version, which, I don't know, it's kind of a mute point to me. It's like, they're just trying to cram in any old, you know, oh, Fact 27, you know, is that such a big deal? Probably not. Anyway, so number 28, multiplayer is an option in stadium modes.
Yes. Target, like the Target Blast, or Target, is that what they call it? Target Blast.
Yeah, Target Blast things and like that. Home Run. Is this called Home Run?
Which one?
The Home Run. Is it just Home Run?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Home Run.
Yep. That home one. Run Contest, technically.
That's right. Home Run, that's what it was.
So that's fun. I do like the idea of doing the home run contest cooperatively with a friend, so that'll be fun.
Yeah.
So, Justin, with number 29.
Yeah, number 29. In special orders mode, Master Hand and Crazy Hand will deliver unique challenges. Now, I know Colin was excited about this one. What are you thinking about this, Colin?
Well, it's just that unpredictability factor again. I'm just excited to see what they can pull out of the. I love the Crazy Hand challenges. You got a 10-minute timer, and it goes down as you're doing these challenges. So basically, it's all about knowing how well, you know, when to stop and claim your rewards, or do you risk it and go further and further? And obviously, the more you risk, the better the rewards. But if you run out of time, you lose everything. And I really like that idea. I think it's an interesting. It's just an interesting idea, and plus it's even more game modes, which is cool, I guess.
Yeah, you can't have too much content, that's for sure.
That's true.
I'm all right with any extra modes they want to throw in just to give you more to do. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, once again, this mode kind of confused me just a little bit. I mean, there are these tickets for something like that.
Yeah, you collect these little tickets, which is weird. But hey, it's one of those things that you'll have to learn how to to have, you know, the rules and things as you play it, because I haven't really explained much about it in the live stream, but it looks cool. It looks really interesting. So
okay, so I guess the ticket thing is just part of the special orders motif.
Yeah,
I guess.
I guess.
Basically,
that's another thing that confused me, for good reason. All right, so I guess Justin gets the next list item as well, number 30.
Yeah, number 30, Bossmaster Core can change into a massive playing field.
Mm. Nifty. Yeah. I know one of our readers on the site was really excited about this, Lord Lemmy, yeah. I believe. So Master Core was a new boss in the 3DS version.
Yes.
Of the game. I'd never met him. How do you get to him?
You have to clear Classic on a high intensity.
Now,
I've fought him. I haven't beaten him because he's really, really tough.
Yeah, he looked tough. So I guess the regular Master Core boss is returning, as well as his weird, like, playing field form. Okay. So those of you who have actually done that, I've just been playing the game pretty casually, the 3DS version, that is, so I never even got to that. But I think those of you who actually got there actually know what we're talking about. So we'll move on to number 31. There will be lots of controller options. More than ever before, so yay for that. And on the same note, number 32, the GameCube controller adapter. Yeah, it's a thing.
Apparently.
That's what I put on the list here. I think that was made clear quite a long time ago. So,
yeah.
Colin, number 33.
Number 33, you could use the 3DS as a controller, which, again, is something we've known for a while. But I think it's only in certain modes, but I can't be completely sure about that. Number 34, transfer custom fighters from 3DS version to Wii U version, which is not really surprising, really, because, you know, surely that's what you want.
I'd almost like to be able to transfer, like, the full roster, because I've unlocked everybody in the 3DS version. If I could unlock the full roster by transferring my 3DS data, that would be nice, but those are the two main things that we'll be able to do when we connect the two versions. But Justin, number 35...
Yeah, there's going to be more trophies in this version, which is no big surprise. There's more everything in this version. Number 36, there will be a final Smash trophy for each character, unlockable by completing the All-Star mode.
Yay.
So that was, I believe, a thing in Brawl as well. Really excited about that. I think that final Smashes were, like, the best thing that were introduced in Brawl, and so I really like just seeing every character's final smash and so on, so that'll be fun. Number 37, trophy boxes show how many trophies you have out of certain sets. So these trophy boxes will have, like, a certain amount of trophies that you can collect, and if you collect them all, you've completed the set. Yeah, you can show those off, I guess, if you really want to. Number 38, the photo studio lets you take pictures of your trophies in scenarios of your choosing, so that'll be good for those of you who are creative. Which I'm not.
So yeah, okay, so 39, Trophy Rush is now playable with a second fighter. Yeah, the only question that I would say is, say you unlock a trophy in that you got, do you both get it, or is it just you that gets it? Do you share the rewards, or are they restricted to the character that got them? I don't know.
Well, the trophies just, I don't know, are unlocked in your game in general, so
I'm
guessing that the two files, or sorry, the different, like, user profiles that you have on your Wii U, I'm guessing that those will all have different progresses in Brawl or the game.
Is it possible to have, like, a friend? I don't know. I was thinking maybe, yeah. Okay, so number 40, play time demos of Classic games and buy them from the eShop if you want. So basically, it's a free demo, which is cool.
Yep, a lot of classic games. And then I think that it's kind of interesting of Nintendo, and it makes sense that you can go straight to the eShop and get that game if you want it. So it's kind of interesting.
Very clever.
It is. Because Super Smash Bros., I mean, if you like one Nintendo franchise, then you probably will play Super Smash Bros. And playing the game will make you think like, oh, I want to try that other game. And so this is just a brilliant way of getting people to actually buy those games.
Yeah.
So clever.
It's a nice gentle nudge. Yeah, yeah. Gentle nudge in the right direction.
Yep. All right. 41, Justin.
All right. Amiibo can level up and get stat boosts by eating equipment.
So this is another one we wanted to stop on. We've already known that Amiibo can level up for a long time now, but we just learned that they can also get stat boosts by eating equipment. And if you don't know what equipment is, it's stuff that you can apply to your custom Mii fighters or even the characters in Super Smash Bros. That give them stat boosts or even like stat decreases. Like they'll give one stat a really big boost, but then decrease another stat.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. That's what equipment is. So your Mii or your Amiibo will actually be able to eat. That's kind of the analogy that they made here. Eat equipment for stat boosts. Also, Amiibo will actually level up and grow depending on how you fight them.
Yeah.
So I read an IGN article recently that actually talked about how if you use items a lot against an Amiibo character, they'll start using items too. So they actually will adapt to how you fight them. So if you want them to be a really well-rounded Amiibo fighter, then you want to try using a whole bunch of different strategies on them. If you don't use items on them at all, they just won't know how to use them when they fight other people. So I think that's really nifty.
Like you almost have to actually train them how to fight.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's like teaching a child how to do things. You know, they eventually manage it themselves. It's a nice little feature for people who want to collect. You know, the Amiibo and take around their friend's house and here you go. Look what I got. Look what you can do. You know, it's an interesting idea.
Which brings us to the question.
That's right.
Is anyone going to be getting Amiibo? And Colin and I have already discussed this a little bit, and you're not planning on getting any Amiibo, are you?
No.
That I know of.
No, not me. It's just not what I'm after. I mean, it's just it doesn't interest me one bit. Well, which is...
Yeah, and you can still enjoy the game without having Amiibo, so...
Yeah.
So, Justin, how about you? Are you planning on getting Amiibo? And if so, which ones?
At the moment, no. The Amiibo thing for Smash sounds neat, but it's not enough to sway me. I'm waiting to see what other games will offer with it. I like the characters themselves. I want to buy them and just put them on a shelf somewhere in my house, but not actually use them. But at the moment, I've not been swayed to buy them yet, but we'll see. I'm waiting to see what other games use it down the line before I... jump in the Amiibo.
Yeah. And we know a lot of those games, we just don't know how they will work, so...
Mm,
yeah. Yeah, I'm waiting for the right one to be like, oh, this is worth it. Yeah. I gotta buy these now.
Yeah, it's like Lewis was saying yesterday about the idea of... I mean, I can't imagine Captain Falcon's Amiibo being used much, whereas Link's one and Mario's one will be used a lot, comparatively.
Yeah, that's kind of why I've been leaning toward getting Luigi.
Yeah, Luigi. Luigi.
Get someone who's in a lot of games.
That's
yeah.
right. Yeah. Just so you get the value of, you know, the usage. But maybe they'll make another F-Zero game, and hopefully.
Yeah, Nintendo, sheesh.
Come on.
Do it. Just do it. Yeah. I myself have been considering, I think I'll get just one on day one, which is November 21st for North America, which is the day that Super Smash Bros. For Wii U also comes out. Yeah. I just don't know which one I'm going to get quite yet. I'm thinking, like, I kind of want one that I think people probably won't really go for. So maybe Pit, maybe Donkey Kong, maybe Luigi. Luigi because, and this is foreshadowing our talking about what Halloween games we've been playing, but Luigi is one of my new favorite characters, so I'm very, very much interested in his Amiibo, so I don't know. I don't know yet, but I'll get one eventually. Well, I'll decide eventually. I will decide before November 21st, so. So, listeners, you should suggest one for me. I really like the Pit figure. I think it looks really cool, but we'll see. So, I completely... I have no idea.
Number
whose turn it
number
was?
Number 42.
It's still Holly.
Yeah, it's Still me here, yeah. So number 42. Number 42 is the Wii LAN adapter. It will also be compatible with the Wii U, which will help boost the internet connection, which for anyone who's played the Smash Online before, any boost is a good boost.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I love that's like basically a sales pitch for the Wii LAN adapter. It's just like, you need this.
Basically.
It's just like, it's okay, but...
It is interesting that it's the Wii LAN adapter. Like, they don't have a specific one for Wii U, which I guess makes sense as long as the Wii one is compatible with Wii U. So.
That's right, yeah. It just... I have no idea.
You need one of these, people.
Apparently.
Oh, so I guess it would be my turn at number 43. Notifications will pop up in the main menu. Ooh. Okay, that's grand. we'll see what those kind of notifications are. Number 44, two people in the same room can play online together. I like that.
Yeah.
My sister, I'll play with my sister and she'll kick all you guys' butts.
Probably.
Actually, probably not. She does like to play, which is unusual for her, but she's not that grand. But anyway, Colin with number 45.
Number 45, online tourney mode coming sometime after release.
Okay, this is one that Justin wanted us to stop and talk about.
Yeah, I'm excited for this one. I mean, again, the online might be sketchy at times, but I think we all enjoy getting together online when we can and playing each other, and to be able to have your own tournament or join other tournaments, I think that's a pretty neat little bonus. I'm sure a lot of our listeners would love to have an Infendo tournament at some point, so... It's a nice little bonus.
I think it's interesting that obviously this idea is still in development because it's coming after release. Which, I mean, it makes you think, had they got other modes that they're not showing yet, which are still being made, you know, possibly as future DLC? That's an interesting
thing. Sounds likely.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. Yeah. But it's going to be so good. As long as the online works, it'll be really cool.
Yeah.
That'll be the backbreaker if it's any good or not.
Well, I've had good experiences with the 3DS version, as long as I'm just playing with friends, except for last night when we played, Colin, Lewis, and I had a really bad connection for some random reason.
And then it died at one point. Yeah, I don't
know. Yeah. So, but, you know, if it's friends only, I think it could work pretty darn well. And if, like, you know, four people are fighting at one time and there's, like, six other people, say... in the tournament, maybe they can spectate. That would be awesome.
That'd be really good. Really good.
Fun. Yeah. It'd be super fun to have game nights, Infendo game nights with the Skype chat and everything.
I say it'll be interesting to see, too, if you can do like, I know in the 3DS version, when you spectate, you can bet coins on different people. It'll be interesting to see if they have that in the tourney mode, too. So, there's little twists everywhere, that's for sure.
Oh, that'll be fantastic. So number 46, Colin.
Number 46. So your turn. Local tournaments are also a thing, apparently. So, there you go.
Just like they were in Brawl. I really hope that, like, 8-player smashing will work in tournament mode, too. That would just be crazy.
Crazy, yeah.
But, yeah. Number 47, I believe it's Justin's turn here.
Yeah, you can use the gamepad for off-TV play or to display your fighter's information when you're playing on the TV. Number 48, you can take screenshots and then doodle on them.
Yeah.
So for the artists out there,
I think sharing them on Miiverse is something that won't be available from the start, but it will become available later randomly.
Yeah, bizarre.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
But yeah, it's like Justin says, I can't wait to see what people do. Not that I'll be using that, but
no, I'm not much of an artist myself, but
no. But there's a load of talented people in Miiverse, so you're going to see some pretty crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited. Okay, so I believe it's my turn. Number 49, voice chat for Super Smash Bros. For Wii U is going to be a thing, but it's getting the same treatment as it did in Mario Kart 8, where you can't actually voice chat during matches. You can only do it in between, so there's that.
At least they have like a legitimate reason, which is Smash Bros. Obviously needs a good connection.
Yeah, during the actual fights.
Mario Kart, I don't think so much. I don't know why that didn't have voice chat, but I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I'm sure there's a reason somewhere, but... Yeah.
All right, number 50. You can draw stages on the gamepad in a stage builder mode, and this was one that Justin wanted to talk about again.
Yeah, I'm excited for this one. Any game where you can build your own level, build your own stage, always has me intrigued. Like we were saying on the screenshots and doodles, I'm not much of an artist, but to toy around pretending to be an architect and then get to play on my own creation, that's always pretty neat, especially when it's a game you already really enjoy, and then you can make your own crazy levels.
Yeah.
I haven't fully seen how much you can do in the stage builder mode, but if you can like go as crazy as you want, that could be a lot of fun. You could make some really interesting levels and then share them with your friends.
I think it'd be really cool if it was like as fully featured as, let's say, like Mario Maker. That'd be pretty sweet, but I'm not sure if it would be that fully, detailed. But the stuff they were showing in the live stream, it looked incredible. And my main concern is obviously people are going to design some evil levels. It's just going to be traps everywhere. It's like, so yeah, it's going to be really great to see what people come up with.
Yeah, I think that'd be really fun.
Yeah, once again, like sharing via Miiverse, I'm assuming it's going to be via Miiverse. That won't be available from the start. So, well, it'll probably be a while before we're able to see and even play on other people's creations. So, but I really look forward to that time. I'm like Justin, I am not much of an artist or I'm not that creative, and so what I'm really looking forward to is just playing on other people's stages, so that'll be fun. All right, number 51. Let's see. Oh, stage sharing will be added somewhere down the road, so I already kind of mentioned that. Actually, I think that was supposed to be Colin's turn, but Colin, you can go in with number
Yeah,
52.
I shall jump in with 52. Okay, so join the battle. Sorry, joins the battle trailers will be viewable in the game, which.
Which, I loved those trailers.
Oh yeah, they're so good.
So, be fun to see him in HD.
This game has an intro. It has an opening cinematic.
Ah, yes, and if you haven't seen that yet, go find it, please. I believe IGN posted it, probably other
Yes, that's
places
right.
did. Oh man, go look at that. It's awesome.
Okay, so yeah, get a couple of soundtrack CDs, CDs people, when you register both versions of the game. Yeah,
Yes.
CDs, going back.
For yeah, Club Nintendo. I don't, Colin, is this a thing over in Europe?
I think so. I think it applies to us as well, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
I have to report back once I've registered both games. But yeah, I think it may be a thing, but I don't know.
So yeah, that's exciting. Anything physical is fun. So Justin, go ahead and list our last item here.
The last item, number 54 in a 50 item list, is Mewtwo. Mewtwo is returning for both
Bum bum
versions.
bum.
However, only if you have both
All right, so
Yeah.
this is something that I wanted to talk about because so Nintendo spends a lot of this list is basically saying how much better the Wii U version is to the 3DS version, and then at the end of the list it's like get these two soundtrack CDs when you register both versions on Club Nintendo. Also, you can only get Mewtwo, who will be free downloadable content down the road. You can only get him if you have both games as well. So Nintendo is all at once like trying to say like the Wii U version's a much better game than the 3DS version, but you still need both if you want these extra
Yeah,
bonuses.
which kind of sucks a bit. There's got to be some people out there who are just like, oh, I'll skip the 3DS version, I'll skip the Wii. Now they're like, oh, come on. I mean, I'm sure Mewtwo will become available like later down the line as like paid DLC. I don't see why they wouldn't do that, but I think just for,
I could see that at
yeah,
some
but just
point.
for now, it's going to be, free for the loyal fan base, which hey, I'll take it. Three.
Yeah, me too. I'm getting both versions, so I don't have anything to worry about. So, it also actually, and one of our readers again brought this up. Lord Lemmy, thank you for this, for bringing this up. But it suggests that DLC will be a thing later on.
Yeah.
Not just Mewtwo, but possibly other playable characters will be made into DLC later on, which is why I think that news about Ridley slash Meta Ridley being a stage hazard will
Yeah.
be really bittersweet for Harrison, because that suggests that even if there is DLC, it probably won't be a playable Ridley
Oh dear.
DLC. So sorry.
I can just see him crying now.
Are we looking forward to any other, like, maybe returning characters from previous games or new playable characters? Wonder Red. I'd love to see Wonder Red.
Yeah, Wonder Red. That'd be cool.
Bayonetta. Everyone wants to see Bayonetta in there.
That would be an interesting choice. I don't think Bayonetta would fit into the world too much. But then again, I didn't think Solid Snake would either. And he was in Brawl, so I was like, okay.
Is anyone wanting him to return? Snake, that is?
No.
No, I'm pretty impartial on Snake.
Same here, actually.
The only thing I would say about this list of they reeled off, a lot of it is it's coming later, which is... It just shows this game, even though it's coming out November for America and December for us. This game is clearly like still in heavy development, and they're like, we need to get this out before the end of the year, but we also need this other stuff to be added later, so we're just going to chuck it on in a patch or something, you know. Which I'm a little bit, I don't know. I'm happy the game's coming. I'm just a little bit disappointed that it's not fully featured when you buy the game, but it will be layered out.
Yeah.
So.
It kind of feels like it's an incomplete game being released with more being finished later on.
So,
I don't have any very, very strong opinions on that.
Yeah.
I mean, there are like the online sharing features, like the Miiverse stage won't be available and sharing stages and screenshots won't be available the bat. So there are those things, but I don't care that much. Looks like a great game.
I think the online tourney is the biggest one. To me, that's like, I would have loved that to be there. You know, oh yeah, great. And the fact they clearly said, a month after a release, it'll be available. But we don't know when it's going to be. It could be up to, it could be right into next year, which it probably will be. So, just a slight bittersweet ending for me. It was like, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it makes you wonder how long you're going to have to wait for some of those things, too. Like, it'll be a month. So does that month get extended to two?
Because Nintendo does do that.
Yeah, it's like a tease almost.
Yeah, and by the time online tourneys come out, I don't know, people might be kind of tired of the game, but I don't know.
Yeah, they might have moved on to something else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see. All right, that kind of, the Bayonetta talk that we had sort of moves us into our feature, which is on Halloween games or any other type of Halloween talk, basically. This is kind of doubling as our what we've been playing section, and Colin is going to start us off with Bayonetta 2, even though it's not super Halloween-y, although there are torture devices in that game. That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's just a very, I've very briefly mentioned that, Bayonetta 2. It's really, really good. It's because, I was quite dubious about it because of all the praise it got, and I was hyped for it, and I was like, it's going to let me down. No, it's an amazing game that deserves every bit of the praise it's got. And it does have its, I wouldn't say the game's scary, but it has its gruesome, kind of like more of gore horror, shock horror type moments. It's like, wow, look at that, I don't want to say too much about the plot, but the plot is really good. It's a lot stronger than the first game.
So you mentioned you were about halfway through it. How many hours would you say
at the moment
is halfway through?
I know for a fact there's 15 chapters, and I'm on chapter 9 at the moment. So I've put in about 6 hours or so. I haven't got it in front of me, so I can't give you an accurate reading, but yeah, I'll say about 6 hours or so. But the levels are huge. I've been basically blazing through it because the plot is quite interesting. So I'm sort of running through these levels, but the levels are huge. And there's lots of little hidden areas. And so you could easily spend up to like 20 hours, I think, in this game, just in the main story mode. And then there's like tag climax after that, which I haven't done yet. It looks like it's going to be quite a bit to this game, which is I'm happy with. As well as it comes with the first one, so
That's the big thing. You're paying like the price of one game, and you're getting two. So
well, I think that's for America. For us, we had to play, we had to buy like a special edition. Which is kind of like
you mentioned that before.
Yeah, which kind of sucks, but I mean it's. I'll happy pay because Bayonetta 1 was so good back in the day. We have 2010 it came out, but
Bayonetta 1 with Nintendo costumes.
Yeah, and they're
totally
really good.
Worth it, even
they're
if you've really played good. It before.
So yeah, I mean that's what I'm playing mainly, but I thought I would throw in some recommended Halloween games.
Horror games.
Yes. Right, here we go.
You should do the horror ones because I don't play horror games, so I won't be talking about horror ones.
Right, so okay, in that case, this is what we got. Okay, so horror. Scary stuff here. Okay, so for I don't know if Justin played this, but did you play Dementium for DS?
No, I didn't.
Now that
I was lightly reading about it last night when I was looking up some of the other horror games trying to see which ones I had and had not played.
Yeah, that game, that's scary. It's such a clever, it uses very clever of the, you know, the DS's capabilities. And the graphics aren't fantastic, I'll accept that, but the atmosphere, because it's set in the, you know, a dementia ward, you know, it's a sanitarium, in a sense. And it's so freaky, so scary, because there's things hunting you and chasing you, and it's all first person, so you know, and every, you know, you got no clue what you're supposed to do, just survive, and yeah, really interesting take on the horror game. So yeah, Dementium: The Ward, very good, very good.
And for those of you who have 3DSs, even though it's a DS game, obviously you can it on 3DSs. So good recommendation.
Which is pretty cool. See, I also quite like games that you wouldn't think as horror games, but they have horror elements. I think the main one is Metroid Prime 2.
Ooh. Did
you play Metroid Prime 2?
Oh yeah.
Now,
I have. For like maybe 10 hours. I didn't quite beat that one. I need to get back into it someday.
It's not so much that the game is like, oh, it's scary. But that opening scene when you walk in down the corridors and you see like the bodies being hung from the ceiling of the cave. And I was just, that moment, I mean when I first played it, I was like, this is freaky. This is a Metroid, what's going on, you know, and the light and dark world, and yeah, I mean, to me, that it had quite a tense atmosphere about it.
Even the first one does, well, it did for me anyway, but that's right. Well, I'm sensitive to stuff like that.
Yeah, the opening to the first one is probably the best opening for any game I've played since, I think. I really enjoyed that first, on the space station, so good.
Yeah. The space pirates that are like half alive, half dead already, or they're just like kind of moving and trying to shoot you, even if they're out, they're headed out, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly.
They're on their way out. That's what it is.
And the Metroid Prime games definitely do have that sort of creepy atmosphere. But my main one that I'm going
to—it's atmosphere with those ones.
Yep,
that's right.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's chilling.
So my main game that I would mention was actually two, Nightmare Creatures, on the N64.
Never even heard of it.
No. Okay. No. Well, again, I got vague memories of it, but I remember it being terrifying when I was like 12. So if you can
remind me what it's called, I already forgot.
Nightmare Creatures.
Okay, that's pretty basic, I guess.
Yeah, it is, but it's. I remember like playing the game, and it's so, but then again, see, I don't know if it's just scary because I was 12, but if I play it now, I'd be like, wow, you know, but,
it does look pretty creepy.
The main game, I would say, came for the Wii, which you wouldn't think has a horror-centric console, but, Silent Hill, Shattered Memories, for the Wii.
Yeah.
Terrifying. If you want a scary experience, that game is well worth it, mainly because it's a third-person adventure, but you don't have a weapon. And so these creatures are coming after you from the shadows, and all you have is a torch, but you can't fight them at all. And so you just run. And it's all about, you know, this guy trying to find his daughter. It's basically a retelling of the first game, but in a twisted way. So, but yeah, that game is terrifying. If you, if you like horror games, I recommend Silent Hill. So that's basically it for my recommendations. And yeah.
Well, I put myself on the list after Colin, so I guess I'll talk about my non-horror game of choice for Halloween. I guess this was a pretty obvious one, because I think Nintendo's even... I think they put a Wii U, well, a Miiverse community.
Yeah.
Based around Halloween, that's going to have some screenshot challenges for the game that I will be talking about, which is Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon. I have loved, loved, loved this game. It's not a horror game on any scale. I mean, it does have these little moments that might make you jump a little bit.
True, yeah.
So, but it's just, it's a real charmer. It's like I kind of mentioned before, I was pretty indifferent to Luigi before I played this game, but his charm in this game is undeniable. It is so, he's so adorable. Yeah. I can't get enough. I'll be replaying this game in years to come, for
sure. The great best thing about Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon is he's just so well animated. Every little thing, everything he interacts with, he has his little mannerisms, and he's like, whoa, you know, especially like he opens doors and things.
Yeah, even just moving, like when you have him dash, he's just like, running like he's all scared, and sometimes he'll even start humming the theme music.
Yeah, that's a carryover from the first game. The first game, I love the first Luigi's Mansion, it's so good. And I still say that I think the first one is, maybe, I think if I find it slightly better than Dark Moon, but... Yeah, Dark Moon is still a really good game. And
Or number two for Europe, I guess.
Yeah, for Europe, it's Luigi's Mansion 2, which I don't... Nintendo's naming policy is weird.
Yeah, but hopefully that clears it up for everyone who's listening, whether you're in the United States, or that is North America, or Europe. But that's another thing. I never did play... Well, I did play the original for maybe like 10 minutes, and then I was... I think I borrowed it from a friend and then returned it after that for some reason. But I have loved number two. And as far, I mean, obviously my perspective on it is one where I haven't played the first. And so this is kind of just me playing this game and really, really enjoying it.
Well, yeah, I'll certainly recommend going back to the first one because it's definitely worth the time.
I may do that.
Yeah.
I think I can get it used for pretty cheap. So why not if I can?
Yes, it's a great game.
For those who don't know what Luigi's Mansion is all about, it's almost Zelda-esque in that you're like exploring, well, in number two, you're exploring multiple mansions. I believe it's just one mansion in number one.
It's quite a large one in the first one, yeah.
Yeah. It's Zelda-like, but just in gameplay, not in scale, because the scale is not huge, but you are exploring, trying to find hidden things and solving puzzles. I have really, really enjoyed exploring and just... And the combat, actually, I mean, obviously you use the poltergeist to suck in ghosts. You have to, like, flash them with a light first and then start sucking them in. At first, that actually felt like a pretty clunky combat system, like I was having trouble with it. But once you get used to it, man, it is fun. So all around, it's just been a really, really enjoyable game. I mean, if you don't like horror games, this is the perfect Halloween game for you, so
go for it. Well, like I said, yeah, it does have its moments where it's like, yeah, whoa. But it's more, it has a humorous tone. We just look at Luigi and he's petrified of everything. It's like a mouse, the very first level, the mouse comes out of the hole and looks at him. He's just like, whoa, what the heck is that? And it's, yeah.
And if you don't love Luigi after playing this, I'm surprised. That's just me. But Justin was going to also give his recommendations and possibly talk a little bit about Luigi's Mansion as well.
Yes, I've been playing Luigi's Mansion a little bit too, and like you, I had not played the GameCube version, but I've loved it. I'm feeling the exact same way you are. It's a super fun game. Luigi's got a ton of character, the way he interacts with things, the way he jumps and freaks out at every little bump and gust of wind is very comical. But the game itself, it's a blast. It's neat to explore. I like the fact that you can interact with almost anything in the mansions. You can poke things. You can knock them open, suck them with the vacuum, and find little hidden treasures everywhere you go. So, yeah, no, I think that's a great game. It's certainly not the scariest, but if you don't like horror, this is the Halloween game for you, for sure.
So as far as horror games, what would you recommend?
I didn't have a ton on my list, but the two that instantly sprang to mind, the first one was the Resident Evil series in general.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Although some are a little more action-based than the others, but for me, when I was growing up, the one I really got into was Resident Evil 2, which I'm thinking back now. It's been a long time since I've played it, but...
What system is that on?
That one was originally like a PlayStation game. I think it got released on N64 and then again on GameCube.
Yep, that's right.
I believe.
Yep.
And it takes place mostly in like an abandoned police station where everyone seems to have gone missing, and then it goes underground, and it's very atmospheric as well. It's not quite as creepy as Silent Hill, but it's certainly, it's very quiet and eerie, and then you'll hear a bump, you'll hear a scream, or something will jump out, and that series, the first couple games are great. The puzzles you have to solve, the maneuvering your way through the mansion or the police hall trying to stay alive.
Yeah.
That's an excellent game it'll certainly make you jump if you're playing it on a stormy night by yourself.
Yeah, I remember playing the N64 version. And the only thing I would say is Capcom, back then, they were wizards. Okay, so the PlayStation game was two discs, I believe. And it had a character on each disc that you could play. There's two playable characters. Somehow, Capcom...
Yeah, if you put the one disc in, you played as Leon, and...
That's right, yeah.
The other disc was the Maya or something? I can't remember
Claire,
the girl's name.
Claire, no. I think.
Claire.
Claire Redfield.
Claire,
yeah.
That's right.
Where'd you get Maya? Phoenix,
right? I think she might be a character... No, I think she might be a character from another Resident Evil game. I get those characters all kind of mixed up at some point, because there's about... 10 games by this point.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's true. But, and so somehow Capcom managed to take these two discs and compress it into one cartridge. And I always thought that was so impressive, that they managed to do that. And, so I can play on the N64, and the game it looked pretty good for an N64 game, definitely had
for
that.
For its time, yeah.
That's true, yeah. And it was like, I mean, it's an amazing achievement. Back then. And, although I think the GameCube is literally a direct port of. They didn't upgrade the graphics after all, did they? For the GameCube?
No, I never played the GameCube one. Mm. I feel like they did just kind of. Yeah, here you go. There you go. Same game.
Jeez, that's kind of sad.
That is what it's sad. Especially.
Yeah, right? You should touch it up a little bit.
Well, especially coming off the first Resident Evil remake. Yeah, they remade the entire first game and made it like. Way better. And then the second one, they're like, yeah, here you go.
Yes.
It's just the same thing again, which is kind of sad. But there you go.
All right, so you had two come to mind, Justin. Resident Evil series in general, and...
The other one, and this one's not so much scary, but it's a lot of fun, it was Zombies Ate My Neighbors for the Super Nintendo. It's really cheesy. It's a cheesy, like... Run and gun, you're basically saving your neighbors from horror film enemies.
Yeah.
So you're running around the neighborhood, you're running around the mall, and you're fighting off zombies and werewolves and vampires, and you get like a water gun, you throw overshaken cans of Pepsi at them and as bombs. Like it's the most ridiculous game, but it's just a ton of fun. I think it's got multiplayer.
Yeah.
That's a fun game. You literally just, you run around, each level has like 10 neighbors you need to save. You've got to get to them before the various creatures eat them. And they basically are your lives. So if all the neighbors die,
that's
game
right,
over.
Yeah,
and yeah, it's a fun game. You know, it's Super Nintendo, so the graphics won't blow you away, but it's colorful and very creative. Some big wide open levels. I think it was like 55 levels or something like that. Like it's got a whole lot of gameplay, but yeah, it's just a fun game, and the multiplayer is a good time. You can have fun running around just shooting zombies and werewolves and saving the various neighbors, which are all, there's a lot of humor to it. The various neighbors are quite comical. You've got like the oversized man wearing like a rubber ducky inflatable float tube and all sorts of fun stuff like that. It's good for a laugh, not a scream, but that's a fun Halloween type game for sure.
And I just looked it up on Nintendo's site. It is available on the Wii Virtual Console, so you should be able to go to the Wii Shop channel and get it there, which I'm seriously
considering.
You should
go there right away.
Highly recommend it, yes.
Yeah, it's a blast. It's a fun game.
Cool.
I was just going to briefly mention, we should give an honorable mention to the very first original Halloween game, which was Castlevania.
Yes. Yeah, good call.
There you go. Just throw it out there.
Never played a single Castlevania game in my life, but as part of the NES Quest, I hope to play the original sometime.
I'd say that might need to be the next one on your list.
I usually, when I do my votes, you know, I have four games to vote for each time. I literally have this little mug, this ceramic mug that my friend made for me in her ceramics class. Cool. I have all these slips of paper folded in half with all the games that people have recommended on it, and I literally just draw four out. With my eyes closed, I stir them up a little bit. That's how I picked the four. Well, so maybe I'll just have to rig the next vote and put Castlevania
in there. Just forego the vote and just put Castlevania, and that's all you need.
Well, there's so many others that I
that's true.
Kind of missed out on as well. I mean, right now I'm trying to beat Super Mario Bros. 3, which is obviously one of the most classic games you could think of, which I never
so
beat.
Good.
I mean, I've played quite a bit of it. In fact, last time, I mean, there's no save file or anything in the original cartridge, and so I was playing it on the original cartridge, and I got tired. I was like, this can take all night. But I did get to, like, I think world 6 or 7, maybe 7 even.
Now, important question: are you using warp whistles, or are you trying to go through every level, every world?
I was going through every level/world. What do the warp whistles look like?
Good.
What do you?
It looks kind of like a wooden, like
recorder,
a recorder,
okay.
Like a little like flute type thing.
So now that I've gotten to world 6, like with playing through every single level, I can just use a warp whistle somewhere and jump to some place.
I think from world 6, you could jump, I want to say right to world 8.
Huh. It'll take me a while to get there again. I started playing it on the Wii U just because of the automatic saves. That I can.
Fair enough. It's a somewhat lengthy game if you try and play every single level.
Yep, in one sitting. So yeah, but
yeah.
The last thing on our list here, I'll consider the Castlevania thing, by the way. But the last thing on our list here is that I guess it was officially two game nights ago.
Yeah.
We played Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon on multiplayer. Me, Colin, and Lewis. That was. It was a fun thing.
It was interesting.
Yeah. As far as multiplayer experiences go, I think it could have been better. But as far as our actual game night went, I almost wish that I had recorded. In fact, I might have been recording. I could probably go back and try and find it. I ended up in this room. I think we were playing in the mode where you just try to capture all the or what are they called?
Ghosts.
Polter pups?
Ghosts. Yeah, the polter pups, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what they're called.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. So we were playing in that mode, and I ended up in this room by myself. I don't even remember how I got there. I probably just got a key, and I was on my own. It's kind of a co-op thing. At the same time, you can also play it competitively, but I was playing a little too competitively. I was kind of off on my own. I found this room. Lewis and Colin were just wandering around aimlessly while I was figuring this out. I got in this room and suddenly I was just surrounded by ghosts, tons of ghosts. And I just started freaking out, like on the Skype chat and everything. I was just like, help!
It was so funny. Holly was screaming. And me and Lewis, like, because you can see your Luigi's on the screen, they're just looking at each other and just going like, what do we do?
How do we get there? Oh, man. So that was probably the best moment of the night, for sure. And it was pretty legitimately scary for me. I mean, tons of ghosts. I was just like, where did these all come from? Oh, geez. It was quite a shocker. But, yeah, I mean, the multiplayer, I think it could have been better with a little more visual variety. I mean, it's just pretty generic, the scare scraper where you're doing the multiplayer is just pretty basic, and it never changes much visually, so that's what I would change about it.
Yeah, it's an interesting experiment in cooperative / competitive multiplayer. I mean, for Luigi's Mansion as well, which is weird. I never thought they would do multiplayer for Luigi's Mansion, but it works in some areas. I wouldn't say it's a complete, like, must play this experience. But
yeah,
if you got some friends who have the game, it also has download play as well. So yeah, if you've got some friends with the game, try it out. That's what I can say. I mean,
yeah. Actually, I just thought of another moment. We did the timed mode. There's also a mode where you're basically just trying to find the exit.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Along the way, you have to try and find some clocks to increase your time because the time is slowly ticking down. And there was one point at which we were on a certain floor. Lewis and Colin found the exit. They found the secret exit or whatever. And you need, there are three different switches if you're playing with three people, which we were.
Yep.
There were three different switches that y'all need to stand on to open it up. So Colin and Lewis found it, and I was just kind of on my own somewhere else, and I ended up once again being kind of surrounded by ghosts, yeah. And I was desperately trying to collect more time because our time was just ticking down and it was getting dire.
And Lewis
and Colin were just chilling in that room, apparently trying to flash each other with the flashlight.
There's a pattern throughout the entire night. It was me and Lewis would like stick together and like we're gonna work together as a team. Holly would just run off into the furthest room she could find and like get surrounded by things.
Lewis, is that how it went?
me and Lewis were like, oh, okay, we'll just wait for her to come back, and we found that and he just sat on the Skype chat, he's like, oh my god, help me, and we're like, okay.
I know, I was trying so hard to like get to the room that you guys had found, but at the same time look for clocks that would increase our time, because I didn't think I could just make it if I just bolted.
Yeah, because like, for like 6 seconds left or something, it was like,
yep. So, I was like, guys, find some more clocks.
Just standing there blinding each other with our torches.
So there were some good moments for sure. But yeah, that was our experience with game night. And that actually kind of brings us to the end of the episode, unless anyone wants to throw something else out there.
Any last minute recommendations for horror games? There are some odd ones, like, would you class Majora's Mask as a horror game?
Good one to bring up.
Mm.
I'd say, yeah, as a Halloween game, it's good.
Some elements to it,
exactly,
yeah.
Like the Skull Kid and yeah, things like that. Yeah, you know, the moon, obviously.
And it involves masks. That's very Halloween-ish,
that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
There are plenty of games that you can play. Also, I think for the eShop, Costume Quest 2 is coming out. Apparently the first Costume Quest was pretty good, and so the sequel is coming out on Wii U.
Okay.
Sometime around Halloween, I hope. So you can always give that a try once it comes out.
Yep.
It's all I got, though, for now. I think that's plenty of games to keep you busy for the holidays. So.
It should be, yeah.
Oh, that should get you through Halloween.
So, yeah, I think we will leave it there. That brings us to the conclusion of the podcast. As always, you can send us questions or comments on anything that we have talked about in this episode or anything Nintendo related at all. I want to have a nice full featured community comments section possibly in the next podcast. So please do send us your questions and comments. With that, this show has come to a close. Thank you very much for listening. I guess I should tell you how you can send us comments and questions. If you're in your web browser, you can always leave a comment on the post. Or if you are listening via iTunes and you don't have a way of doing that, you can send us an email to contact@infendo.com. You can also actually get a hold of us via our Twitter and Nintendo Network IDs. So I think we'll quickly go through those. I've already said this quite a bit recently, but my Twitter account is, or my Twitter handle is my name, at Holly Felmeth. That's Holly Felmeth, no spaces. My Nintendo Network ID is Aeroweth, AeroweTh. So, Colin, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. So my Twitter handle is at Hillian Bard. The reason that is because someone took my name, which I might have to wrestle the rights off him. But anyway, yeah, so that's that. My Wii U name is Cole1990. COL1990.
All right, and Justin.
Yeah, both of my Nintendo Network ID and my Twitter are the exact same, and that is RockyRaccoon14, RockyRaccoon14, all one word.
See, all right, sweet.
Justin and Lewis did the smart thing. Have it one day.
Yeah, keep them all the same.
Yep. I don't have too many regrets there, but so yeah, you can always send your questions and comments to us individually, and also you can friend request us on our Wii U. Sorry, that's what it is, Wii U. And as long as you say something in your like comment, like I like to listen to the podcast or something like that, I will definitely say yes to your friend request. I really really like to make friends with the fans, which you know I'm getting pretty close to 100. Wii U friends, which is the limit, and so I have to be kind of selective, so please mention the podcast or the site if you do that. So with that, this is the definite end of the show. Thank you everyone for listening.
All right, goodbye everybody.
Bye everybody.
See you guys.